How to Be Happy Podcast, episode number 26. Welcome to the How to Be Happy Podcast with Jared and Emily Akers, where we talk about life, love, happiness, respect for yourself and your partners in life. So open your hearts and your minds and get ready to be honest, be loved, and be happy. Welcome, everybody.
Hi. I love that music.
I do, too.
Yeah. Makes me feel like I'm in vacation. Anyway, on vacation.
Just living the dream, right? So this is the How to Be Happy podcast with me. I'm Jared Akers.
I'm Emily.
And welcome. Welcome, welcome. So it's kind of late in the day for us on Sunday. We weren't really motivated to do this today. I know that sounds bad, but...
Enjoying relaxing.
Yeah.
Watched an awesome movie again for the, 10th time, I think.
Yeah, we watched The Bucket List.
So good.
It is a good movie.
Yeah. Top five movies.
I have on the topic for today, should you marry him or her? But let's talk about that movie just a little bit.
Yeah. It's a kind of a interesting relationship where you have one guy that has been married four times and is divorced, and another guy that's been married for
40 some years
or something. Yeah. And they both end up in the hospital together with terminal cancer in the same room.
Yeah.
And they end up
doing this bucket list. And, I think I've written posts or something before on my website about, or I don't know, I've referred to it before, the part where they're on top of the pyramid or looking at the pyramid and the question that the Egyptians gods ask before they get allowed into heaven or whatever is, have you found joy in your life? And then he answers, well, yeah. And then the second question is, have you brought joy to others? You know?
Yeah.
And that's the question that you really got to think about. Have I brought joy to others? And another thing that movie made me think about was, you know, towards the end, he walks in and I thought about this a couple nights ago. It's like, you know, it makes me sad to think about not having you in my life.
Oh.
I mean, I know that's kind of morbid, but not having you or going through, I mean, because we're going to die. Everyone's dying.
Well, you're not taking me for granted, and that's nice.
At some point, right? So it really puts more perspective on making every moment that we have truly enjoyable and full of happiness. And which kind of relates always to our topic because, you know, one of the things I was thinking about is that happiness is difficult. And I think that maybe, and I say that, maybe doing a whole episode on this topic, but most people want happiness and we all do, and we deserve it. And I believe it's our birthright, but a lot of people don't really want to do the work that it takes to get there. And I know maybe
can I make a reference to what you mentioned earlier? Are you bringing joy to other people's lives?
Yes.
I think that if you're bringing joy to other people's lives, inevitably there's going to come that some happiness is going to come from that.
Yeah, but you know, we know people, and isn't there the circumstance where a lot of people are the caregivers and they spend their whole lives just taking care of people and
pleasing others
and then you know, at some point we all ask, what's in it for me, right? Because it's, you know, it's not narcissistic. Or, you know, as human beings, we want something in return. Well, I guess
if you're giving with an expectation, then that's
you're giving for the wrong reason.
Well, yeah.
Well, my point was that in order to be happy, you really are going to have to make some tough decisions. Like getting rid of someone that's toxic.
Right.
And that's easier said than done. So
right.
In order to avoid having to get rid of, now that's a bad way to put it, to get rid of someone, but you know,
eliminate them from your lives.
Yeah. You know, we have the right to only keep people in our lives that are positive. So like on the topic I had down, should you marry him or her? And I really want your input on this because you dated a lot of guys before you dated me.
Right.
And How do you know?
I was thinking about that earlier, how on each date, I just knew that there was no way that I could go on another date.
With that person?
Right. Yeah, I knew immediately. Yeah. But with you, you know, I was trying to talk myself out of it on the first date. But then by the second, by that night, I knew. And I've never questioned since then.
You knew what?
I knew that I wanted to be with you again and again and again. I mean, okay. There was never, once I was able to get past that first initial, like, no, you know.
What was the first initial no?
Well, there
maybe
were a few things.
Maybe it wasn't three no's, but.
Yeah, there were a few things I was concerned about.
Age?
Yeah, the age factor. You haven't had kids. We weren't really in the same place in our lives, kind of thing. So, wow, it's really windy out. What is that?
Okay, so we just paused the recording for a minute because I thought
we were having a tornado.
I thought our house was blowing down. we used to have this awnings, and they make this just this ruckus. Let's make this ruckus.
Terrible racket.
Yeah. And I thought this window by you was going to like blow away.
Yeah.
Huh. We had a microburst a couple years ago. And we had this corkscrew willow in our backyard and it just completely demolished it.
Yeah.
So I'm a little
nervous about wind.
Anyway, everything's okay. So
yeah. So what, after our first date and you completely opened up to me, I mean, within the first 24 hours, I knew things about you that I've spent lifetimes with people and never known about them, like to that depth.
Yeah. And I think it's just kind of like the right person and the right time, because typically someone that would like purge themselves with that much crap when they first meet someone, the other person would run the other way.
Yeah.
Because it was all like,
that's if they're not emotionally available.
Yeah.
And I think I'd got to the point where I was definitely ready for that kind of relationship.
So, yeah. And from a guy's perspective, I'd went on a couple of dates. Not, you know, dozens like you had, but after my last relationship. And, you know, I knew within, you know, and we've said this before, I knew within the first couple, you know, 10 or 15 minutes that it wasn't going to work out.
Yeah.
You know, but also like, you know, my sister, she's been single for a while and she's been dating a lot of people. And you know, she's had some pretty good guys. And, you know, but she's gotten better at really deciding what she needs and, you know, and making that decision whether or not it's best for her. And we've met some of them in the past and it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe something they said or, you know, but of course, usually we never find out that we don't like someone that we've married or until after it's over, you know.
Right.
So, but that brings up a good topic of dating versus marrying behavior. And I actually have a quote on here from you, honey, a couple of weeks or last, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, we were talking about the behavior of dating. This is, I actually wrote down this quote after, because a lot of times I don't realize how awesome something you said was. So I go back and I'm listening to the podcast. Although last week, I don't know. Anyway, I've been working on the sound quality a lot and I couldn't even listen to last week because it just drove me crazy. You said the behavior of dating and the behavior of marriage sometimes are very different. Well, they are very different. If you're dating someone that has secrets or is hiding something. And then you said, keeping a diary while dating, watch for the warning signs. Why do we marry someone and push those signs away? And then Emily says, quote, we're in love with the idea of what we want them to be. We enjoy them at their very best self. Right. So, you know, your point was, well, yeah, we're different when we're dating than when we're married.
Mm-hmm.
Has that been true with me and you?
No.
No?
Yes. Yes. Because we never really dated, I guess. I mean, it was pretty, from the moment we met, we've been together every day that we could possibly be with each other.
That's true.
So there was never a question. I was never going to be with anyone else again. You never, you know. But I think you went through your period where you were thinking about, you know, leaving the relationship, not because the relationship wasn't going well, but because you were questioning what you wanted for your life. And I understood that. I did.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't upset about it. I was totally behind you if that's what you needed to do. You know, so, but that behavior is different because you're not all the way in the relationship when you're not married. Once you've committed through marriage, you know it's forever.
Right.
You know, there's no question you've decided you're not going to be with anyone else.
Yeah, and from a guy's perspective, and I'll be honest, you know, a guy...
We hope.
Yeah.
I hope.
It's, you know, it's the bigger, better deal thing. You know, a guy...
Yeah.
And, okay, I don't want to make a blanket statement of all guys, but typically guys that have trouble committing, in my experience, has been, hey, you know, is there a bigger, better deal out there? You know,
right.
can I find something better? And it's a very shallow thing. It's a very...
It's a way to not...
Visual thing.
It's a way to not commit totally to. I mean, it's kind of a safety mechanism.
Well, yeah. And for me, you know, and I even went through therapy, like we've talked about, because... You know, and I came to the realization that, yes, I do not see my future without you in it. And that meant, you know, marrying you.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I, for the first time, I didn't feel like I was giving up something. I think that is a big thing, at least from a guy's perspective. When we got married, when I met you, being together and being a committed relationship was the first time with you that I ever felt like I wasn't giving up something. And I don't know if that's, gosh, that wind is driving me crazy.
I don't even hear it now.
Oh, I went to all this trouble to like try to fix the sound.
Yeah. We have new speakers or new microphones.
Boom and stands. And I got,
yeah, it's pretty,
I figured
pretty
out
impressive.
How to get the microphones just right. So the hum is, yeah. Anyway.
I don't hear a hum.
No, I don't either. There was a lot of static last week because I had the gain, it's technical stuff, but yeah. You know, and I was trying, anyway. Now we got the wind, so yeah. we need to move to the basement, but then we got the pipes that clatter in the basement right. Every time hot water goes on.
It's always something.
Anyway, so let's see. Yeah, so I wasn't giving up anything, and I don't know if that was just because I was in a different place, and I wanted to commit a relationship, but I felt like in the past I had to give up kind of somewhat of an independence in who I was, and obviously I just wasn't ready either.
And you also found someone that was willing to let you have the time that you wanted to do the things that you wanted to do.
Yeah, and that's because you were in a place where, hey, you know what? I'll take you or leave you. I mean...
Pretty much.
I mean, you wanted me, obviously, right?
Sure. I wanted you to be here if you wanted to be here.
Right.
But I'm no longer going to, you know, chase someone around. I wasn't willing to do that.
So, if someone has secrets...
Yeah.
You know, that's not good.
No.
Because like in the dating behavior is, you know, we're putting on all the, you know, we're pulling out all the stops and we're doing all the deal and trying to impress you. And
see, I feel like you just totally were yourself. I don't feel like you were trying to impress me.
I wasn't.
Were you? I don't think you were.
I mean, I'm impressive just the way I am.
Yeah, you are. Humble too.
So, well, and yeah, I mean...
One of the things that I was most attracted is your healthy self-esteem.
Well, I finally felt good about myself and my, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And gosh darn it, people like me.
Gosh darn it, I'm going to kiss her.
Yeah, I'm going to kiss her. And I felt good about myself. And I was like, you know, finally, I'm just going to be who I guess I was just sure who I was. And I never really quite was before that. After going through the stuff that I went through, and you know, and another thing, so did you marry someone? We know people that have been in relationships for, and I'm not saying that marriage is right for everybody either.
Right.
I mean, some people, oh, well, you know, it's an institution. You sign the thing. Mm. Oh, that was my,
I don't feel that way.
My voice. Like I didn't think that was the right thing. I was putting a judgment on it, but you know, some people think that the institution of marriage, you know, corrupts the, you know, and I don't know if that's just a way to not commit or, and I know people that aren't married that are happy, you know, I don't know.
I don't think I know anyone that's not married. That's
maybe that
happy.
Was a movie.
I'm not saying you have to be married to be happy. but
no, but you definitely need meaningful and deep relationships.
Exactly.
I believe.
Well, it's a better way to go through life for me anyway.
Yeah, because I think it was...
I love being married.
I do too.
Yay.
It was Christopher McCandless, I think that's his name, in the movie Into the Wild. It was written about him, and I've talked about it before, but in the end, you know, he met all these people and had these kind of these relationships, but he never got intimate with anyone. And he met these great people on it, a lot of these great people on his journey. And then he ends up, his dream is to live out in the Alaskan wilderness, and he ends up dying alone in this little bus. And he wrote in between the lines of a book that he was reading that happiness is only real if shared.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's kind of like, I mean, you can get into the quantum physics and stuff, like, does a tree make a sound if it falls in the woods? So,
what difference does it make if it does or it doesn't make a sound? That's what I always think when people ask that. I'm like,
well,
why does it matter?
It's a quantum physics thing, like the dead cat in the box. Like, if there's a dead cat in a box, the cat's not dead unless you open it up and you witness it dead. Hmm. It's something like particles aren't there unless you... the act of actually seeing something changes it somehow. It's deep. So like...
It is deep.
Anyway.
It's a whole nother podcast.
I probably got all that wrong, but anyway, it's... anyway, so it's
I kind of get what you mean.
So is happiness like, hey, I just got this great... I just finally cleared this level on, you know, Candy Crush... And I get some joy, and I look around, and there's no one there to share it with me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess that kind of makes me happy.
I think that would make you happy. But let's say you win the lottery. I mean, it would be really great.
Let's say.
It would be really great if I were living here alone. But honestly, the whole idea behind wanting to have all this money is to go and enjoy it with somebody. I mean, I could go and enjoy it, but... You know,
like when something great happens,
I enjoy things better with that makes you.
The experience of it together, is what makes.
Yeah, I'm on your team. You're on my team. I'm happy for you. You're happy for me.
Yeah,
and that makes anything that's fun funner.
Yeah, funner.
Yeah, yeah, more fun. Enriched.
Well, and on that aspect, relationships, is the person that you're dating, do they have relationships with others? We've kind of touched on a lot of these topics before, but we can...
What are their relationships like?
We talk about the same thing a lot, but it's always different.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense, but...
I hope so.
Yeah, for the listener.
So what else you got on your list?
My list? Well, it was like, how does he treat other people?
Yeah.
You know, or how does she treat other people?
Even relationships with strangers. How do they act under pressure, you know?
Yeah, are they kind?
How are they with your family? What do they think? What's your best friend think? And is your best friend emotionally healthy, first of all? The people that you're asking for, you know, their input, are they emotionally healthy? Because if they're not, that's probably not a good person to ask. I mean, but you know what I'm saying? Someone that would be jealous of your relationship. Say you have a best friend.
Oh,
and
right.
And then you're dating someone, and then obviously you're not spending as much time with your best friend, and they're jealous, so they're
kind
of
like
not going to be in support of the relationship. Like, that wouldn't be like someone you'd want to ask.
Yeah, like Candy's mom on the
exactly.
Real Housewives of whichever one that is.
She's coming around a little bit, but Candy's had to really get in her face.
Yeah, I feel for her.
I do too.
Anyway.
I'm sure there's a lot that's been said that we obviously haven't seen.
Yeah.
But I think she is making some progress, the mother.
Yeah, and, you know, that's true. If you're seeking advice, because I have several people that I seek counsel from, and spiritually and emotionally, and you're obviously one of those, but however, you know, I like several different views, you know, from a man and as well, and they have something in their life that I want.
Right.
Right. So, you know, you're not going to ask someone for relationship advice who's been, I don't know.
Unsuccessful.
Unsuccessful.
Time and time again.
Yeah.
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 Maybe not.
Does he or she have friends, period.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when I met my previous, when I was in a previous relationship, she used to always say, you don't have any friends. You don't go out and do anything. And she was kind of right. I kind of had friends, but a lot of them were like friends that I used to like party with a lot. And mm-hmm. so, and I wasn't doing that anymore mm-hmm. at that point in time. So, but then I also felt like, well, when I did do those things, then she would get angry, not angry, but you have friends.
Mm-hmm. I have friends.
You don't do a whole
but
lot.
The, one of the I don't do a whole lot, but I'm happy with the amount that I do. Like if I want to go out with friends, but honestly, I'm getting to the place where I don't really want to go out in the evenings, particularly unless it's with you. You know, if I'm going to go out with a friend and have a couple drinks, then I got to worry about driving home having had a couple of drinks.
Yeah. And you so, can, you know, and you always, you know, can call me, obviously.
I don't really, and you know, yeah. I was making this observation the other day. Basically, when girls get together, it's usually bash man night.
Oh, right.
That's been my experience right. in my life. The girls that go have to go out and party together after they're married with families and whatnot, generally they're, you know, having some lack of success in their relationships. And honestly, I'm sick of hearing about it.
Yeah.
I don't want to be around people that are, you know, in crisis all the time. It's not saying that I can't be there for a friend, but it definitely clouds your, it kind of kills the buzz of being happy.
Well, misery loves company.
Yeah. And it kind of makes you start wondering, you know, I would say that we have a very healthy relationship and we're in a great place. The last time I spent time with girlfriends, it was all about, you know, infidelity and unhappiness and, you know, just basically people that were where I've been. And it was not comfortable for me.
So did you...
It wasn't fun. It's like, this is how I'm going to spend my evening?
Yeah, and you can't really... Or sometimes, you know, you get in groups like that and you're like, oh, yeah, you feel like you got to kind of relate in mm-hmm. some way and... Right.
Well, the problem with that is that I can relate.
Well, yeah.
And I could empathize with her pain. I understood it. I got it. You know, and she was miserable.
Gosh, that wind is trying to make
her. I know, it's really coming in droves.
It's coming in hot.
Is it droves? It's a driving
all right. Does he have a job? Does he or she have a job?
Yeah.
You got to have a job.
You got to be contributing financially. You got to decide how do you want to live and who's going to contribute what. Now that, you know, do you agree on what lifestyle you want to have?
Yeah.
And yeah. That's important.
Yeah, and I think our lifestyle has gotten
need to be realistic.
Less, we've realized we need less as we get older and want less, except for a nice bed.
Really? Yeah. I don't know that I would agree with that, but
I mean, I guess they don't have to have a job, but that's kind of like
I don't want to marry someone that doesn't have a job.
What about men or women out there right now that are in a relationship?
Depends on how old you are.
Well, that's true.
And how much money you have.
Well, you shouldn't be dating someone that's not old enough to work, thinking about marriage.
Oh, well, I mean, maybe you're past having to work.
Oh, well, there you go.
Maybe you're over 40.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So what? I should retire.
You're pretty old.
Yeah. Well, what about someone like a guy or girl that are out there or that's in a relationship right now? And like, for instance, what's too long to be in a relationship and you haven't got married if you want marriage?
Well, according to
Patty Stanger.
Is it Stanger?
I think so, on the Millionaire Matchmaker.
Yeah, she says you should have a commitment within 6 months, and you shouldn't be dating more than a year.
Year.
Yeah.
I mean, I like that.
I don't agree with her.
You don't?
No, not at all. I think you should have a commitment after a year, but I don't think you should be married after a year.
A commitment after a year.
Way too soon.
Yeah, but, well, yeah, because
you need to agree to be monogamous.
Yeah.
Within, before a year, I would think, and
we were within the first 24 hours, mm-hmm. weren't we?
Within the first 48 hours, for sure.
Is that what it was?
I think it was 48. Well, I could go back and read up.
Read the emails?
I didn't want to see anyone else. Yeah. After I... Yeah.
Well, one of the things that is... I don't know. I wouldn't call it common knowledge, but I've heard it before from several different people. Maybe it's Oprah or somebody. I don't know. Dr. Phil or something. That you really don't even get to know someone until you've been with them for a year.
Four seasons.
Really? Yeah. Did you tell me that, or did you read that somewhere?
Yeah, I've heard it a few times. Yeah, because everybody has kind of a blue time of year, possibly. I mean, if they're going to have a depression,
yeah,
you know, certain seasons bring out depression, certain events, certain holidays, whatever. Yeah, you need to see them through a whole year.
Yeah, but I'm also still the big believer on boom, bam, you know. But of course, I'm skeptical when other people tell me, oh, this is the
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, yeah, uh-huh. Well, I don't know. It was for me.
See, I'm not at all skeptical. But I think that they should probably, like with your sister, I kind of wait like a few months.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't know the first few months.
Right.
And it's not always that you didn't know. Maybe they didn't share who they really were, and then you're really figuring it out. And
right.
So I don't see it as a failure. I see it as a success, because it's another stepping stone to meeting the person that you're supposed to be with.
Yeah.
And you learn something from each relationship.
Well, yeah, because you dated, you took, what was it, Oprah's advice, and dated 100 people in a year?
Supposed to date 100. Well, I don't think it was in a year. It was just 100 men.
Yeah.
I got to the 90s.
Really?
Yeah.
You really say that, but.
I know. It sounds good. It was a lot.
It was a lot?
Yeah, it was a lot.
I keep looking for
it's
that.
Over a couple years.
I keep looking for the notches on something around here. Like
I'm talking
on the,
one
on
date.
On the side of the
I'm talking like
something.
Coffee dates.
Oh, okay.
They never got behind, you know.
I quit
doing dinner because that's just too long.
Yeah.
If you know
oh,
within
goodness.
5 minutes and you
oh,
got to do a whole dinner.
I've been there.
And then they want something after the dinner.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You can't believe the things that people will say after they bought you dinner. So.
Didn't some guy tell you how many push-ups he could do or
oh,
something?
Oh, my heavens.
Okay. So I would say immediately, okay, after the first half hour, you know, do they have a job? Do they, if you go out to eat coffee, see how they treat See how he
other
or she
people.
Treats other people, like the waitress and stuff like that. Are they kind?
Mm-hmm.
Do they talk about themselves the whole time? Which, I don't know. I kind of did, didn't
I? I think here's another suggestion, too. You need to go and do his favorite thing that he likes to do with him, and he needs to go and do your favorite thing you like to do, and see if you even want to be with this person, because if they are going to want to be doing this a lot and going to want you hanging around when they're doing it and vice versa, that's something to look at.
Yeah.
You know, when you're dating, you can say, oh, well, I don't have to do that with them. But really, you know, if somebody is physically active and likes to be outdoors all of the time, you know, and you don't, that's going to be a problem eventually.
Yeah.
So I think you kind of have to agree on how you want to spend your off time.
So try different
things.
To
some extent.
Yeah. And if you don't know, then the first date, then, or if you know, I don't know. I was going to say you should know right away, but maybe not. I mean, you got to spend as much time together as you can.
Right.
And I also know that, like, when we first dated, there was no excuse or nothing that was more important for me to make time to spend with you.
Yeah.
Whereas I'd been in other relationships where, oh, well, I got to do my own thing. And, you know, and it was... It was kind of like there was always something that I kind of would rather be doing, but I still wanted to try to see if this relationship could go anywhere. But with you, it was like, no, I'm changing, you know.
I want to be there.
Whatever I got to do.
Yeah.
And I've shared that with my sister before, too, about, you know, that's going to just drop everything. And maybe that's part of the courting deal, too. But, you know.
Well, it was good.
So now what about... if you've been in a relationship for, say, a year with someone and maybe you're living together or there's commitments that you guys have made together, you're not married.
You mean financial commitments?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like a lease and you bought furniture on time together and
Yeah. What do you do then?
Well, you pay, you see it to the end and...
Get out.
Yeah. I don't know. Or it feels like we're skipping a whole lot of stuff there, but...
Yeah, you know, well,
just because you've sent out the wedding invitation doesn't mean that you have to get married.
Right.
You know, I think if I was honest with myself, the first time I got married, I knew before I walked down the proverbial aisle that I was making a mistake.
I did too. And listen to that voice.
And I knew that, yeah.
I was like, God, show me a sign that I'm supposed to be where I'm supposed to be. I'm just trusting that this is where I'm supposed to be. But there was something deep inside that I knew this wasn't right for me. But I wanted it so bad. I wanted marriage.
All these people were counting on you. You'd already sent out all the invitations.
Oh,
you'd,
my gosh.
You know, made all the plans and arrangements. The hardest thing in the world to do, I would think, would be to back out.
But it's your life.
But it's a lot easier than having to go into a relationship and trying to make that work when you already knew it wasn't gonna.
It's your life. I would warn people not to fall in love or not to get married because of the idea of what it could be.
Right.
If it's not what you want it to be.
Mm-hmm. At that. Well, I think don't get married if you're looking for the other person to make you happy.
Right.
That's the key. And I was.
Yeah.
I did. I got married expecting the other person to make me happy. And I didn't think anything was wrong with that. Yeah. I really did. I had no idea that was not
normal,
viable or, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Good one.
Yep.
There's the music.
Ah. I think we better shut it down before the house blows down.
Yeah, we need to go make sure that all that lawn furniture that we didn't put away for this winter is not, like,
gone. That'd be all right if it would be, though.
Yeah.
We kind of had it with all of it.
Although, we're lucky. We live on a certain street where if we set anything out by the street.
On the driveway,
without,
it's gone.
Within about 2 hours, it's like, I'm like, hey, it's gone.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's kind of nice. But, remember, if you could be so inclined, it doesn't cost you anything, just a few moments of your time, to go to iTunes and leave us an honest review. Or if you have any questions, you can leave us a review right there in iTunes. Just search for the How to Be Happy podcast. You can leave us a question there or go to jaredacres.com and send me an email or leave a message there as well. If you have any questions or topics you'd like us to cover, and remember to be honest.
Be love
and be happy.
Good night.
Good night.